Thank you, Heather. Let's turn our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, we're going to look at an expose on the principle of stewardship in the New Testament church. The principle of stewardship. Now, when you think of stewardship, of course, you think of churches that have a stewardship banquet, and usually that's about, many times that's about the stewardship of our finances. There's more to the stewardship than that. We're going to look at this. In fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 4 has to do in the setting of a comparison of two stewards. And there's two stewards that are at the center of this expose on stewardship, and that is Apollos and Paul. Paul is the apostle, and he is the one who planted the church at Corinth. Apollos, as far as I can tell, is the pastor at the church at Corinth. There's a great difference between Apollos and Paul in the sense that Apollos was very eloquent, and he was a gifted speaker and very eloquent. But Apostle Paul was not. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 2, he says this about himself and his speaking. He says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Now, you can automatically see the human side of this situation. Here's the Apostle Paul, not eloquent, in his speaking ability. And here is Apollos, a great orator. I mean, he holds the people spellbound. He knows just what words to use, knows just the right illustrations. And, he's a very provocative and effective speaker. And so, in their carnality, some say, I'm of a Paul. I'm going to align myself with Paul. And some are going to say, I'm going to align myself with Apollos. And, of course, earlier we read in the Scriptures, the Apostle Paul said, one plants, another waters. But God gives increase. And, of course, the inference was Paul planted and Apollos watered. But the real issue is God. And I find that is amazing. That in much of Christianity, the one person that's left out is God. The one person that is left out in so many, many places, is God. The focus has been taken off of God. Isn't that really what's supposed to count? God? But this has taken place at Corinth. The focus was on Paul, Apollos, but it wasn't on God. And it's amazing. Sometimes as a pastor, I think, where's God in their life? What about God? It's almost like it's the last thing they think about, or they don't even think about God. So We're going to look at the subject of stewardship. And we find the occasion for this study of stewardship, this comparison of Paul and Apollos. And you can all of a sudden see the human part of it, can't you? You know people, right? Apollos. Oh, man. Oh, man. Apollos. Man, that is my man. Apollos. You just see it. That's how people are. They forget the real issue. God. But let's see how Paul deals with this situation. And as he delineates the idea of, handles it from the idea, from the standpoint of a stewardship. Verse 1, let a man account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. A stewardship. What is a stewardship? You know, the Bible talks a lot about this idea of a stewardship. You know, in Luke 16, the Lord Jesus talked about stewardship. You know, and he talked about a man who had a stewardship. And it says in Luke 16, there was a certain man, rich man, which had a steward. And the same was accused of him that he had wasted his goods. Well, this gives us insight into a steward. A steward is somebody who has been put in charge of someone else's wealth or endeavors. He is a manager, a foreman, an administrator. He's a steward. And the word steward speaks of accountability, but Jesus is talking about a steward. And of course the whole chapter, tells us that every Christian is a steward. And in this case, he says every Christian is a steward of the lowest common denominator. You know what the lowest common denominator is? Money. And he says God can't count on you with your money, he can't count on you at all. That's a good lesson for young people. But you know, this is a common theme of Jesus. Turn to chapter 19. Again, Jesus is talking about the whole idea of a stewardship. It says in Luke 19, it says in verse 15, well, actually start in verse 12, and he said to them, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for him a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered unto them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to rule over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. So here was a nobleman. He had a certain degree of wealth. And and now he is going to entrust his wealth to his servants. And while he is gone, his servants are going to take care of that wealth and cause it to grow, by wise investment. And they were supposed to treat, that money with as much care as if it was their own. I mean, that's what a good steward is, right? They take care of other people's things even better than they take care of their own things. You know, that is a real need, isn't it? It's a real need. You know, one of the things we find in the ministry is it's really hard for the church to own anything. Because it's hard to find somebody who will take care of it like it's their own. And man, if we didn't have a person like Mr. Myers taking care of vacuum cleaners, we would probably own a vacuum cleaner store. Wouldn't we, Mr. Myers? Yeah. Man, we'd have to buy a new one every week. You know? A stewardship is to take care of someone else's goods in a better way than we take care of our own. Now, we find the same theme in Matthew chapter 25. Stewardship. Yeah, it's amazing. And these are all somewhat long accounts Jesus gives about the idea of a stewardship. Matthew 25, verse 14, for the kingdom of heaven is as, this is a parable, it's a lesson that he's teaching. It's like a man traveling into a far country, he called his servants and delivered unto them his goods. Now, in Luke, it was talking about his money, and here it talking about his goods. And this would obviously include his money. And so he gave unto one 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. And straightway he took his journey. And when he had received the 5, he that went and received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, this is also money, he gained other 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Now, so a steward is in charge of someone else's goods. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh. Of course, what's it talking about? Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. And there will be an accounting of our stewardship. And he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou hast delivered unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. And the Lord said to him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And of course, we know, and we aren't going to preach that message, but the stewardship is going to be rewarded. And you know what's going to be rewarded with? Stewardship. That's what it's going to be rewarded with. The stewardship is going to be rewarded with stewardship. A good worker is going to be rewarded with more work. Wow. Does that change your idea of heaven? Does it change your idea of life? What life is about? He rewards the work with more work. Praise the Lord. You know, that's why. That's the way it is. You know? Good workers always get more work. You know? And lazy people try to avoid work. Well, so we have this idea of a steward. Someone who is entrusted with someone else's goods. Someone who has been entrusted with someone else's goods. Now, the Apostle Paul says that he is a steward of the mysteries of God. He's been entrusted with the greatest treasure ever given to man, apart from the Lord Jesus or through the Lord Jesus. You know what it is? The Bible. Stewards of the mysteries of God. The word mystery in the Bible, it isn't too mysterious. The word mystery in the Bible is something that has previously been unknown to man, but now has been revealed to God. This is the revelation of God. The revelation of God. This is, all of this would be a mystery to everyone unless God chose to reveal it to us. And specifically, the New Testament is spoken of as a mystery because it's now, have previously not been revealed, but now has been revealed. And this dispensation of grace something that was not previously revealed in the Old Testament, but now has been revealed in the New Testament era. The idea of the mystery is really referring to that. It's referring to the Word of God. So we have the identity of a steward has been given something that belongs to someone else, and we are to take care of it. Something that belongs to someone else, and we are to take care of it. Now think about it. Just so you get the idea. You don't have to raise your hand, but how many claim the name Christian? Oh, you understand that is a stewardship? You are taking somebody else's wonderful, wonderful name and associating yourself with that name. You know what? That's a stewardship, isn't it? The privilege of being able to bear the name of the wonderful Son of God. Just bearing his name is a stewardship. That name doesn't belong to us, does it? The name belong to us? No, it's his name. He allows us to take his name. That's a stewardship. That's a gift. It's a gift. It's a stewardship. It's a rich that is unbelievable. And we're allowed to bear it. We're allowed to identify ourselves with that. That's an amazing thing. But it's a stewardship. It's someone else's wealth that we are allowed to be associated with, but brings with it responsibility. And so, we see here, closely associated with this, we see the identity of a stewardship, but we see the requirements of a stewardship. Verse 2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Now notice what happened when the Lord, the master, the nobleman, the king, when he met those that he entrusted his stewardship to. Those who had done well, he said, well done, thou good and faithful. 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 The requirement of the stewardship, the Bible says, is faithfulness. Faithfulness. That's a simple word. But what is faithfulness? What is faithfulness? Well, it means simply you can be counted on. You can be counted on. You're not going to skip town. You're not going to neglect your duty. You're going to do what you're supposed to do. You can be counted on. You are reliable. You are dependable. You can be depended on. Well, that's pretty important. Pretty important. A dependable person. Now, there's some issues about dependability. I think the bottom line, though, of dependability is this. The number one characteristic of dependability is a person, you can count on that person because that person is always going to obey God. I realize, we all, but you know what I mean? The characteristic of their life is you can count on them because they're going to do what God says. That's the kind of person you can depend on. The person who's going to do God's will. You don't have to worry about them. That's great, isn't it? You don't have to worry about them because you know what? That they're dependable. They're just going to do God's will. Oh, you don't know what's going to happen. It's going to be bad. I tell you, you don't know what's going to happen. Oh, it doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter about the circumstances of life. No, that doesn't matter. It isn't the circumstances of life. It's the matter that you know they're going to do what God says, no matter what. That's an amazing thing. That is an amazing thing. You know what's really what it's saying? It's saying that God is always their God. God is always their God. They're going to obey God. Doesn't matter what the circumstances are. They're going to obey God. That's the only kind of person you can depend on. That's the only kind of person that is faithful. That's the only kind of person that is reliable. What could happen? All sorts of things could happen, right? And there might be a good reason, human reason, not to obey God. All of a sudden, now they're not dependable, right? They're not dependable. Or when they're corrected, they're going to get corrected because they're dependable. Not perfect, but they can be corrected because they're going to do what God says. Isn't it amazing? I remember years ago hearing the story of, it was from the Ukraine. And I can't remember this situation, but it was from the Ukraine. And it was the testimony of the Ukrainian Christians in the Ukrainian nation. And of course, Ukraine was under the Soviet Union and atheism, et cetera, et cetera. But this is the story that came out. This is the story. And some of you I've talked to the last couple of days, I shared this story. Unsaved Ukrainian girls. The word was, or ladies, or any lady, would say, make sure you marry a Christian. What? Why would that be going around? Why? Because in Ukraine, they knew the testimony of the Christian. A Christian is always going to obey the Bible. And if you marry a Christian, they will never be unfaithful to you. And they will never divorce you. period, under any circumstance. So they said, make sure you marry a Christian. Because Christians obey God, no matter what. That's the testimony of a faithful person. A faithful person is going to obey God. They're always going to do God's will. And when they get off track, they're going to be allowed to be corrected by God and by others, because their whole purpose in life is to be faithful to God. And so, you know, we see this faithfulness, and there's some simple truths here that I think it's worthy to talk about. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 is all about being faithful to God in His work. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 is talking about the Christian and the local church. And it's saying that a Christian needs to be faithful in his local church and what he does. It says in 1 Corinthians 4:14, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. But if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Knowing not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. Now, what's he talking about? He's talking about the work of the New Testament church. That work requires people to be faithful to that work, and faithful to the building of that work and in spiritual realm. Faithfulness to the work of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we aren't going to, you can go there if you want, but talks about being faithful to God with your abilities. You know, we have a stewardship. You know what our stewardship is? Our stewardship, 1 Corinthians 12 talked about, you know, some man is an arm, some man is a finger, some man is an eye, some man is the ear. And he's saying that we all have been given these gifts. They're not for us. They're not for us. No, they're His. He entrusted them to us. Now that's hard to comprehend because we live in a self-centered world. Everything is about me, us, my. You know, one of the first words out of a little child, I don't know if Jonathan has gotten there yet. You know one of the first words? What? Mine. 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 You know, right? Mine. Or me, same one, you know. Yeah, we're born that way. All about us. No, it's not all about us. It's about God. God gave me this ability. And you know, faithfulness has to do with saying, no, these aren't my abilities. I'm not being some Superman by serving God with my abilities. No, that's not stewardship. Stewardship is God. These are His abilities that He entrusted to me. And my job before God is to use the abilities He gave me for Him, not for me. That's stewardship. Faithfulness. That's 1 Corinthians 12. You know, so I think of this. I think sometimes people have this job, and this is what they do for a job. And That usually doesn't happen around here, but once in a while. They have this job, and they're really good at this job, but you know what? They won't do it at church. No way. They won't do it at church. They missed the whole point. Why did they get that? There was that's not their ability. It's ability God gave them. It's not for them, it's for Him. And we'll stand before God with those abilities that He gave us. You know what? Don't ever ask me to fix your car. I am an unmechanic. I'm an unmechanic. I couldn't fix hardly anything. Maybe a piece of wood, you know, but God made the wood. But I'm an unmechanic. I'm free. But I suppose if I had to, I'd try to fix something. Probably wouldn't do a good job. But you know what? That's a gift. It's a gift of a talent. It's a gift of ability. It's a gift of an opportunity. It's not for us. No, it's not for us at all. It's for God. And someday, we'll stand before God. And He'll say, what did you do with the gifts I gave you, the opportunities I gave you, the talents I gave you? What did you do with them? And people will say, hey, I put them in a sack and I kept them there. I never used them for you, God. I dare you to, that's not a good word, is it? Retract that word. I challenge you to go to the Bible and see what God pictures that as. And who that is a characteristic of. If it's a characteristic of a believer or if it's a characteristic of the lost man. Then we have the stewardship, and we mentioned this, of the Bible. Acts 20. I get a feeling I'm not going to be able to finish this message. That's all right. You know, I was home sick this spring with pneumonia, and I sat there on the couch watching the live stream. And you know what? You know what I said? I said, boy, you know, that time went really fast. I said, I can't believe that we want church to be so short. I can't believe that. That we want church to be that short all the time. Time went by like that. And then I had the rest of the day to be sick, you know. It was a lot better listening to the preaching, you know. but Acts chapter 20, verse 26. This is what Apostle Paul said, wherefore I take to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Wow. What did he say? His responsibility was his stewardship. His stewardship was that he had the Bible and that he was supposed to preach the whole Bible. And that's what Paul said. The Lord said to Paul, Paul said to Timothy, preach the word. Be instant, in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when men will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap themselves teachers having itching ears. Now what do you say? Preach the word when it's in season and when it's out of season. Wow. I just read this survey that 38% of all preachers believe in the pre-trib rapture. Only 26% of preachers under, what was it? 35 believe in the pre-trib rapture. What's it saying? The season is coming. Well, now is when the pre-trib rapture isn't popular anymore. It's not popular anymore. There's more and more young preachers not going to preach it because it's not popular anymore. You know, that's not being faithful to the Bible, is it? No, it's not being faithful to the Bible at all. In fact, well, I guess I better not go there. Okay? But you know, it's all about stewardship. Young men, God is a steward, given you the greatest treasure of all, right here, this book. And your duty is to preach it all. Stand for it all. Every part, even when it's unpopular. And you know what's amazing? It's almost predictable nowadays. Did you know that? It's almost predictable if someone tells you the name of the church they go to, you can almost predict how much of the Bible they're going to preach there. You can almost predict it. Just shout out a name, I can almost tell you how much of the Bible they're going to preach there. All things being equal. It isn't blanket, but there's a lot of bearing there. Faithfulness. Why? We've been entrusted with someone else's goods. It's not ours. I didn't write this Bible. Did you? Did you write this Bible? No, we didn't write this Bible. It's God's Bible. Amen. Right? It's His. What a precious treasure, isn't it? Have the Bible. You know, I'm not suggesting this. But you know, the reality is that preachers should pay to be able to preach the Bible. It's a privilege. It's a privilege. It's not ours. All these riches are in Christ, not in us. We're given this great message. We didn't have anything to do with it. The greatest message in all the world. We didn't have anything to do with it. He did it all. We can tell people this greatest thing. So we have a stewardship. There are requirements. It's faithfulness, reliability, dependability. Man, you know, when we started our church, I used to say, you know, it's hard to take brand new Christians and get them in the idea that, you know, you should be in church all day Sunday because Sunday is the Lord's day, and that the Bible commands that a church should pray. And that they should be in prayer meeting. And, you know, when you get brand new Christians and you try to teach them, you know, what it takes to have a church. You know, if you have saved people, they just come to church. That doesn't mean you have a church. You know what I mean? You could have people that are saved and they might come this Sunday. And Sunday morning, next Sunday morning, not there. What if that's all you had? You know, I remember one time before we were chartered. I remember especially two times. Remember one time we had prayer meeting. No one showed up. That was before you were here, Brother Jay, Joe. No one was there. I remember one time, this was months before we chartered, we had Sunday evening service. No one came. Half hour into the evening service, someone came. Whew. You can't have church if you don't have church. You know, if everybody did what you did, would there be such a thing as Wednesday night? If everybody did what you did, would there be such a thing as Sunday night? If everybody did what you did, would there be such a thing as Sunday school? You know? You see what I'm saying? Faithfulness. That's an old thing, isn't it? That's a part of the old world. New world is, how's it work? You know, does it work out? Isn't that the way it is today? If it works out. Now, let's talk about the judgment of stewards. Paul talks about judgment of stewards. Very interesting subject. Verse 3, but with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. Now here's the great Apostle Paul. Do you think he's at the top of the Christian world? I think so. Do many people measure up to him? I don't think so. I mean, he's at the top. Now this is what he talks about, the judgment of his stewardship. He says, but with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you. In other words, hey, you're missing the point. You're missing the point. You say, Apollos, he's our man. Paul, shows a real misunderstanding, doesn't it? Where did Apollos get his eloquence from? God. Why are you making this man-made when the focus is God? He says, small thing to be judged of you or of man's judgment. Okay, I got this analyzed here about the Apostle Paul. Yep, he's a good man. I think he's going to get the best reward. Paul says, not so soon. He says, I don't even judge myself. I was talking to a fellow yesterday. And I gave him a track. I talked to him about, he was in a bike race. And I don't know what I said to him, I forgot. But maybe I said to him, what are you going to do when you finish, when you cross the final line? You know, end line of life. And tried to bring up the Lord and bring up spiritual things, try to give him a gospel tract. He said, I'm good. I'm good. You know what? That's a lie. That is one of the, that's almost blasphemous when people say, I'm good. Do you know that? The Bible says there's none good, no, not one. But I know what he meant. He said, I'm fine. Well, man, the fact is, he wasn't fine. That fellow's on his way to hell. He's not fine. You know what? He judged himself when he doesn't even know the criteria of the judgment. You understand what I'm saying? He judged himself as fine when he doesn't even know the criteria of the judgment. And Paul says, I'm not going to judge myself because I don't even know everything there is to know about me. I don't even know everything there is to know about me. I don't know what abilities I have that I didn't use for God. You know what? If you haven't used your abilities for God, the ones that you know, I guarantee you, you aren't using the ones you don't know. Right? You'll be judged for those. He said, I'm not going to judge myself. I'm not going to say I'm fine. I'm doing okay. Well, we make a big mistake about that, don't we? I'm doing fine. Oh, Apostle Paul says, no, I'm not going to do that. Then he says this. He says, for I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. He's the one who passed out all these gifts and abilities. He is the one whose riches I've been entrusted with. You know, in other words, he's saying sincerity isn't enough. Good intentions aren't good enough. That's what he's saying. Then he says, verse 5, something very sobering. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness. What's he saying? You only know what you see. You only know what people say. I found a long time ago, most of the time the reasons people give aren't the real reasons. Nobody knows the hidden things of darkness. It will soon come to light, yeah, most of the time. Nobody knows what you did yesterday. Nobody knows what you looked at in the computer yesterday. Nobody knows if you told a lie. Nobody knows that. Only God. Most people don't know it. You might have forgot about it. But God knows. God knows the hidden things of darkness. Hey, you Corinthians, you only can see what you see of Apollos, and you can only see what you see of me. But you don't know what anything behind the scenes. You'd be very foolish to judge the situation by what you don't know. Right? Right? You'd be very foolish. You know, there's a preacher in this state that every week he was taking trips to Green Bay. It wasn't to see the Packers. Trips to Green Bay. You know, I'm so naive, I don't know what's going on. Reminded me that we had a family in our church, and they never had any money. He worked overtime all the time, and she worked full time, and they never had any money. And they bought this camper to go to Green Bay. You know, I'm really dumb. I didn't get it. You know what they're going to Green Bay for? Gambling. Gambling. Here's his pastor. He's going to Green Bay. He's going there more and more often. He was a good man. He's a good preacher. I liked him. I thought he was a good, really good man. Did a good job. Going to Green Bay. Going to Green Bay. Pretty soon people said, what are you going to Green Bay for? What are you going to Green Bay for? You know, how long was this going on? I don't know. But you know what he's doing in Green Bay? Gambling. The hidden things of darkness. You know, you might have the pastor fooled. You might have your parents fooled. You don't have God fooled. And at the judgment seat, it's the hidden things of darkness. But notice what also he says. It will make manifest the counsel of the hearts. You know what that means? That means what you're thinking. That means why you're doing it. Why you're not doing it. You know, here's this person says, oh yeah, I'm following the church covenant. I'm not though. God knows. I'm going to do this. Why? Because I want people to think well of me. Think that gives a reward? No. Because the issue is God. Right? God. He says, you don't know the counsels of my heart. You don't know the counsel of the heart of Apollos. There's a judgment coming. And that judgment, he says, I'm not even judging myself yet. Because I don't even know where I failed yet. I don't know where I'm failing God. I'd be foolish to think that everything's fine. I don't even know some of the talents that maybe I'm not using for God. He says, besides that, when God judges, it's not only these acts of faithfulness that we talked about, faithfulness to the Word of God, faithfulness with our talents, faithfulness to the local church. It has to do with our motives. It has to do with the things that nobody knows about. You know? How many lottery tickets? I don't know how many you bought. I don't know that. God only knows that. He says the judgment. There's going to be a judgment of this stewardship. You know, we have to stop there, but you know, you ever thought about your stewardship? Here's a question. The Bible says redeeming the time for the days are evil. Is our time a stewardship? What do you think? How much time that you have, Joe, has been given to you by the Lord? All of it. You know, you and I are getting at that age that we realize that every year that we have is a gift from God, isn't it? But you know, when you're 20, you don't think that your life is a gift from God, do you? Our time. And you know what? It's not just the Lord's Day. I think that's be there. What we did with the Lord's Day. But mean that means all the time we had in life to serve God. That's pretty serious, isn't it? I was talking to senior citizens the other day. I said, you know, I like to keep up with the news. But sometimes, you know, you spent an hour looking at the news and then you say to yourself, what did I really accomplish? You know, I really could have used more Bible reading. I really could have prayed more because I really need to pray more. And what I read, I don't even know if it really is the news. You know what I'm saying? Our time. Our talents. I'm using Joe as a guinea pig, but you know, Joe, you don't do much building on sheds anymore, do you? Isn't that amazing? Can't do it, can you? You know what? It'd be awful hard for you to surrender your life to God to build this church building, wouldn't it? Yeah. Aren't you glad there was a day that when you were young You could have spent your youth serving God with your muscles and your time and your heart. Not anymore. Not anymore. God gave you that time and He used it for Him. That's life. Only we'll be young once. And the abilities of youth will only be in your life once. And they'll be gone. If you're living for yourself, you'll regret it when you stand before Jesus. Youth is a special gift of God to use for God, not for self. Our life is a stewardship. And you know, it changes the view of everything, doesn't it? If we recognize that every one of us are stewards. And we're closing, but notice the verse 7. For who maketh thee to differ from another? God. God makes thee to differ from another. And what hast thou that thou hast not received? Nothing. Everything you have, God gave it to you. Now, if thou didst receive it, why do you glory as if you had not received it? Every one of us, our life is a stewardship. We live in trying times. Remember, the Bible says in the last day, perilous times shall come when men shall be lovers of their own selves. The permeating thinking of the hour is that life is about me, 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 me. No. There's a king who went to a far country to receive his kingdom. That's Jesus. And he entrusted us with his goods. He said, occupy till I come. Get the gospel to the ends of the world. That's your job. He's coming back to see how we did. Our life is a stewardship. Because the king is coming. The devil says, live for yourself. 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 No. The king is coming back. The nobleman is coming back. He has entrusted us with great riches. We'll give an account because our life, every part of our life is a stewardship, isn't it? Every part of our life is a stewardship. It's all been given to us by God. Let's pray. Lord, oh Lord, forgive us for catching the spirit of the times. Lord, forgive us for listening to our old sinful heart that says, me, me, me. Oh, Lord, bring us to an understanding of the realities of life. The great benefits, blessings, talents, abilities, time, all are a gift from you. Every breath we take, the ability to run, the ability to raise our legs, the ability to talk, the ability to see, to hear the word of God, all of these are gifts can be taken away. Our time since the day we got saved, is a special gift to serve the King, to bring glory to Him, to advance His kingdom, to use His goods. Lord, We live in an irresponsible age, and yet, Lord, you said that the Christian life is all about responsibility. It's all about a God who has entrusted us with a life, with opportunities, with the gospel, with the work of God. We're going to make it prosper. We're going to live for ourselves and only use it. Lord, we need to be refocused. Help me, Lord, to refocus even today on all that you have given me, my time, my abilities, everything, treasures, they're for you. The Word of God, to obey it, all of it, not just what when we want. Lord, now in these moments, may your Holy Spirit be real, the illuminator, the enlightener, revealing, reproving, rebuking, correcting, enlightening, teaching. And might our will be as well moved to surrender, to obey, to confess, to turn, to admit, to seek. Lord, we pray for that precious soul that only knows about you. They don't know you. They only know that there is a God. They maybe know there is a Bible. But that God is not the God of their life. They are. He is not their God. When the going gets tough, it's not God that they obey. It's them. Lord, we're in perilous times. Might you truly be the God of our lives. May we not even dare ever to breathe any statement that would dare say that we would ever violate anything in the Word of God. Lord, use these truths in each life, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.